meditation of this rosary, better expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Saranam, Gacchami, Dutiyampi, Satyampi, Sara. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance, and again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Vachachami Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Saha. I turn to the teachings for guidance, again and again may it be so. Sangham Saranam Vachachami Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Saha. I turn to the holy order for guidance, again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are emerging this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With exaltation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 great prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the soul or the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy, blessed day. Oh, happy, blessed place. Oh, happy, blessed time. Oh, happy, blessed path. Oh, happy, blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply bow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma. And I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. And the merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi sava. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face a new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other. Add the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. we are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Reminder that Sunday morning groups are recorded and offered to monthly donors. What shall we look at this morning?
To wake up more than anything. The desire that precipitates in a way the sitting.
So you've been looking at sitting, and connected to that is what Sherry says around we have to want to wake up more than anything.
Yeah. And seeing that my sitting practice has been very steady since the day I learned about it. And so I've never had a real, it's never been a real struggle to sit, but I gotta say, there hasn't always been that linking it to that desire to want to wake up and suffer.
That's good to see, isn't it? Because there could be an assumption that those are connected, so that your sitting practice has been steady all the way through. It's never really been a struggle for you since you learned about it, just very consistent. But that's not necessarily linked to that desire to want to wake up more than anything.
Well, and as you're saying that, though, what drops in is that, of course, it's linked to that. It's just that there hasn't been a realization of it. That which you are seeking is causing you to see.
I see.
So something was getting me onto the cushion day in and day out, year in and year out. But getting to realize and experience and feel and in a way more consciously participate in the process.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha. So the truth is that they are linked. That which causes to seek is what we're following. So something's been calling you to the cushion all the time.
Yeah.
But to this place of just really realizing that and participating in that and enjoying that is kind of the difference.
Yeah. And there's a line from the movie Zen Master Dogen that we saw not long ago, where there's no food around, and he says, well, we'll just boil water, and drink boiled water, and sit. And that line in the movie. For one thing, I kind of projected onto his face a clarity of like, whatever, we're going to sit. You know, I was like, just the clarity of, this is what we're here to do. And I've been enjoying that realization in myself. That's what we're here to do. You know, and I mean,
There's a movie about Zen Master Dogen, and there's this place in the movie where they're out there waiting for things to be cooked, and they kind of go through the cycle, there's nothing, and then he's like, well, then we'll just boil water and sit. And there's just something about that that you project onto, just this clarity, this realization, like, well, that's what we're here to do. Mm-hmm. You know, we're here to sit.
Yeah.
And that's a process that sounds like you're getting have been in touch with, but getting more clear about that's what we're here to do.
Yeah, it seems up for whatever
reason.
For whatever reason. And so just opening to that. Just open the seat. What's dropping in now is just opening to that in whatever form it looks like is emptying the teacup. Because what would be the antithesis of that, what would be filling the teacup, would be to use that content. Okay, so we love to sip, so let's do this. And then, you know, and have a whole big ego identity conversation about, you know, the philosophy and the whateverness and the, just all kinds of mind clutter that could happen around that, as opposed to just opening to actually, there doesn't need to be an end to that preposition. It's just an opening, period.
Just an opening. We can all probably relate to the quote mind clutter. It could happen around practice, it can happen around the sitting. But there's something about different about just that opening, that realization that that's what we're here to do. Mm-hmm. And there isn't a content to that.
I think there's a quote, and I think it's Mark Twain, that there are two important days in your life, the day you were born and the day you learn why that is, or something like that, the day you figure out why that is. Why I was born, you know. And it feels a little bit like that.
Wow.
Like, and then to tie it in with another quote that I came across a month or two ago from Rosa Parks, that she said, I find in my experience that when one's mind is made up, this reduces fear. That knowing in one's mind what must be done does away with fear. You know, so there's something that, I don't know if it's obvious of how those two are connected, but it feels to me like that same clarity that I projected in Dogen's eyes, like, of course, well, that's what we'll just sit there with water, you know? Like, it's what Rosa Parks got to, of, well, of course, I just gotta sit and let him arrest me. And in that clarity, there's no room for that mind clutter, such as fear or anything else.
That's right. So in that clarity, and in that statement of Rosa Parks, well, that's just what I'm... That's almost like, why would I listen to a conversation? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just super clear that this is what... That's what there is to do. Mm-hmm. And that same kind of piece of, I was born, and now I see why I was born.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like from that place, the conversation doesn't sound very interesting.
Yeah. It becomes a matter of, like, just brushing off the mats or whatever. It's like, okay, it's no big deal, but I just don't need it.
I'm aware that they're kind of like mats. I just sort of brush them off. And your words too, the opening and the realizing and the kind of the knowing and that kind of heart knowing, those are all processes. Those are all life processes in that clarity. Wow.
It is a wow.
It is a wow.
Thank you.
wanted to report back that I have recorded and listened.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so it's like a big...
Yes, hands in the air cheering.
Yeah. And I did it a few times, and I did the write and talk and left and hold and listen, and then wait, and then a kind of clarity came, and I recorded it from my left, and then I listened both in the left and in the right.
Uh-huh.
And it's cooler than the two chairs. The chairs was cool in its day.
The chairs is good,
you know? Yeah, it's
but
good.
Something about this.
Well, this actually feels like it really, it's different parts of the different sides of the brain related to the hand holding it. I really felt it in different.
Wow, okay. So kind of like different parts of the brain, like.
Yeah, like different sides. Really, like truly, like by holding and speaking and then holding in the other hand and listening.
Yes.
And then waiting, and then, you know, I'll be totally honest, I feel like I never really get the mentor.
Uh-huh.
I don't get it. Like, that's what I was there before this experience. Like, you know, everyone's talking about the mentor, like, I don't get the mentor. But, you know, I've said for a long time there's all kinds of things, practice I don't get, but I don't worry about it.
Yeah, you just participate anyway.
I mean, I've been doing it for 27 years, right. Obviously it works for me, whatever.
Right, exactly.
Whatever people are doing is fine, I'll just do my part version of it, my, you know, I'm showing up. But I felt the mentor.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, the mentor said some things that were, said them, and I'm like, oh, that must be the mentor right there.
Because it wasn't the same person who was getting on talking about the problem, or how, well, tell us a little bit more about that must be the mentor.
That must be the mentor, right.
Yeah.
It was not the person talking about the problem, and it was also not, like, for a super long time, it felt like all that really happened was like this kind of nurturing and reassuring and loving voice, you know, like that's all that, and I'm like, that can't be the mentor. It's just, you know, like, oh, this part who really wants to feel loved and cherished and like they're okay and they're loved, and like that's the mentor. I mean, really?
Yeah,
I didn't think so.
Could that be all of the mentor? You didn't think so? So
it didn't feel like that was the mentor, but that's always what came that felt like that person needed.
I see.
And in this situation, I did it two times. The voice that came in and spoke, it was not that soft, touchy-feely voice.
Uh-huh.
It was, you are doing these things. Don't believe that.
Uh-huh.
You're doing this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look at, you have set up your life for these things to work. Do not fall for that.
Yeah. Boy, so helpful, right?
Yeah, I was like, whoa.
That must be the mentor. That was great.
Yeah. And so I listened, then I listened. I listened with both hands because when we were
trying that out.
Yeah, and it felt like it went into different parts of the brain because of that.
Wow, a lot of great stuff there. So I love what you're saying about the mentor, you know, because we can sort of have like an idea of what the mentor is, or the mentor. Well, this person seems to need that, but the mentor's dynamic. I mean, it could be sort of that nurturing, sweet. Maybe that's what's needed in that time.
Right.
And then other times, it's a little bit of a, you know, smackdown. Hey.
Or it's just the facts.
The facts. That's a great way to
say
it. Hey, you're doing this.
These are the facts.
Stop doing that.
Yeah, go face these, like, these are the facts. This is what's happening. Don't fall for that.
Don't fall for that. Because I care about you, and it's not good when you fall for that.
Yeah, well, I care.
I mean, it's still a caring process.
Oh, it's totally caring.
Yeah.
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 Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
And I did it. I had a crazy upsetting thing happen a couple days ago, like, so upsetting, like I'm sobbing. And I had a lot to do in the day, so I had to get over it. I mean, I'm like, what, this upsetting is now going to take my whole day? There's a lot happening, and so I thought, well, this would be the chance. Let me try.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I did it, and it really, for a long time I felt like I only recorded and listened like when I was upset. So I stopped because I was super tired of that process. It was like I only wrote in the journal when I was younger. I only wrote in my journal when I was upset, so the journals always spoke with the same thing. Because, so it felt like that. And I thought, well, this would really be the chance to help myself with the tool. So I did. And it didn't go to that old place of, oh, you're loved, oh, it's okay. It didn't do that. It was really, that was when, another time when it was, these are the facts.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
This is the reality of the situation. Don't buy into that.
this is the reality of the situation, don't buy into that. And a couple important things, so you've been talking about doing the two-handed recording, you tried it out, and then it kind of occurred, oh, here's another chance to try it, and then just saying yes to that seems really important. You know, I'm having a different experience with the mentor, let me try it out again. And the same kind of process showed up, kind of more, here's the facts, you don't need to fall for that, here's what to do instead.
Right.
Yeah, that's real support, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And I thought that I would do it again.
That's kind of how this works, doesn't it?
Well, I thought I would do it again, because now, in this terms of this upset that happened, I feel myself feel a bit stuck in like this part of me who wants to, like, it's not quite tell someone off, but it's like, say, you know, what you did broke the trust we had and you lost me as a friend. Now it's only business. There's nothing. Everything is quid pro quo. There's no connection. Like, really wants to like lay it out there like that. And that's doesn't feel helpful.
Yeah. You can almost, even when you sometimes you're in that identity.
I'm like, really? Okay, I got it. Like, I woke up in the night, I'm like, okay, I got it.
Okay.
I hear it. There's probably really wants to say it, but it feels really, yeah, it feels like there's so many layers of karma within it.
Yeah.
And so I thought, well, this would be a good thing to potentially report about.
Because you've seen this before, and you're kind of, there's a little bit of a distance on it, like, okay, I got it. You can kind of see that a part of you or an identity wants to go do that.
Right.
Let's go investigate this a little bit more and try that two-handed recording again and see what comes out of that.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Right. So I will do it and
that's
report
coming up.
Back.
Yeah,
yeah, I haven't done it again. I'm going to do it and report back.
Uh-huh. It's so fascinating, isn't it? Just like, kind of I don't want to every time and journal and record when I'm feeling, and the mentor does, you know, and then to have these experiences where something new comes out, you know.
Yeah, it feels like a new place. Like I wouldn't.
It feels like a new place.
Yeah, like this is not the place where I would record, or this is not the place where I would journal. This is a place where I'm like, well, it's more like a choice place. Like, this doesn't feel, this place is not going to ruin my life. It's not going to distract me when I'm focused. It's not going to, but it doesn't feel like a free place.
It doesn't feel like a free place.
And it doesn't feel like a place, and it also doesn't feel, it feels like there's some really young identities in there. And I like within this context, what I see with this situation that happened is that there's a belief in me that if there's some kind of personal connection in a business relationship, then I'm safe. Mm. It's a very strong belief. I felt it all my life.
Uh-huh.
And
something you've been aware of before.
Yeah, it's so made up.
And it's so made up.
Yeah.
As a lot of beliefs and assumptions tend to be, huh?
Yeah, like it being like having a personal connection with someone's business, like there, it's given me nothing. Like, it's such a belief system. But, and I'm so ready to not have it, but I'm not, like, then there's all these projections around it.
Yeah.
So I would really like to have more freedom around that.
Yeah.
And because there's the, yeah. So
that's good. So recording and listening, and specifically the two-handed exercise, doesn't have to happen when we're in like this despair or great suffering. It could just be, I'm okay. It's not going to make or break me, but I'm not free. I can see that I'm not free. And I kind of have a sense that I kind of see that belief and maybe some young identities. And maybe this process will help me get more clear about what's actually going on here.
Yeah.
So that it can be more of a free choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I want to be able to just state facts without emotion or fear or rejection or just if all relationships, whatever type, business, it has to have some kind of personal interaction, some kind of personal connection, then there's always that part who there's always something of like wanting to still be liked or like all, you know.
Yeah.
And where's the freedom in that?
Yeah. It reminds me a lot of how the monastery models communication, that a lot of times it's information, facts is kind of as you said, but it comes from a place of center. You know, yeah. And it can actually be kind as opposed to I'm trying to get the person and then we have this connection and then it's clean of that.
Right.
Yeah. And so it sounds like you're kind of working your way to a place that's a little bit more from center where you can kind of see what's going on. And maybe there is information, kind of facts to give, like the mentor did to you, or maybe not. But you're going to go through a process to see.
Yeah.
And you're going to report back.
And I'm going to report back.
Awesome.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for the encouragement, everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. It is a group effort, isn't it? Us encouraging one another.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, with anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the whole world is sangha.
Yes.
I mean, they can be.
Yes.
For sure. Let's see. Like I went to the gym this morning early, and it's not even that I engaged with anybody at the gym. It's that there's this group effort, that everyone is there making some kind of commitment that we're all doing. It's like that.
Yeah.
And because you know I can do it. You know it's fun to work out at home too.
Sure.
But there's something about going to a place where other people, we all go to a place, like, you probably don't know anything about that, but here we're at a place. I was a little joke, but, you know, here, there's something about going to a place.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, showing up in the meditation hall at 7:30, at 2:30, it's still a place of, I'm going to show up.
I'm going.
There's a other people are here committed too. Wow, there's some, we're doing this together.
Right.
And we can see it, we can feel it. Very
right.
Similar to going to the gym. Everyone here, I don't know them, but they have some kind of commitment to get here.
Right.
Wow. We are, in a way, doing this together.
Right. And it's actually a really great... it's a really great... I can see that same part of me that believes that connection is safety. Here. But we're all connected, but it's not personal. And
yeah, it's almost like the I've got to connect covers up that we're already connected. You know, it might not be.
That's really beautiful. Yeah, I've got to connect implies that we're not already connected. Yeah.
It's kind of what was just being spoken about realizing why we're here. Oh, I was doing all this other stuff, and when I stopped doing that. And I can see, oh, this is why it's born.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. For freedom.
Yeah. Thank you.
Penny. It was interesting. I go to the same gym, and not on Sunday morning, but I go to certain classes, and they're really hard, and I love going. And And part of what I realize that I love about it is that being in the same room with a group of people doing the same thing and knowing almost nothing about them.
Yeah.
You know? But we know that about each other. You know, that we're willing to expend this kind of energy in this place to do this thing. And I'm especially able to kind of not have particularly personal relationships because most of the women are like, in their 40s and their mothers and their kids all go to the same school, you know, and they kind of operate in the same social circle, generally speaking. And so there's a lot of conversation that I'm not usually a part of, which is, I like that. And I, you know, and I have very cordial relationships with the people, but I just was just noticing that I've often thought of that as one of the places I train. It's also, I often thought of that as sangha, and this last conversation was clarifying that there is a tremendous, freedom is a good word, a tremendous kind of space when I'm involved with people who are sharing the same activity, and we don't have to have anything going about it other than that we're sharing the same activity.
Yeah, gosh, it's just simple enough.
So simple.
That you're sharing the space, you're all doing the same activity, and there's something really great just about it just being that. You know, you don't need to have any other conversations or even not really know anything about other with people, you know, certainly friendly and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But something about that space and sharing together, and we're both exerting in this challenging exercise class we're here together.
And actually, the conversation gets in the way of the activity. And I have to admire the teacher's patience sometimes, that because people will be chatting in the corners and stuff. And I'm just grateful. Not usually to be involved in those conversations, but seeing how the personal relationships actually interfere with why we're there,
yeah.
Unless we're there for those, which I'm not. So so I'm just seeing it's just helping me to see the parallels with coming here and a few other things I'm involved in where the focus is on what we're there for,
yeah.
The activity. It is not on how we get along or what we know about each other.
Yeah.
What we know about each other is we're there together to do this activity.
Yeah.
And that really feels like enough.
Yeah, gosh, that's well said. So just kind of that metaphor of the exercise, it's like, well, what we're here to do is exercise. And so having our attention be drawn to anything else, mm-hmm. conversation or whatever, gets in the way of what we're trying to do here.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of similar to coming into the village environment or, you know, doing practice, you know, we're here for this inward journey.
Mm-hmm.
So if we start paying our attention on other things, then we lose focus on why we're here.
Yeah. So, you know, being in the class trying to do the activity and there are conversations going on is an outward model of sitting in meditation and having a conversation.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I really get a sense of that interference.
It
does not lend to what you're there for.
Right. Yeah, so we're here counting the breaths in meditation, really, and here's that conversation going on. Here I am giving my full effort to exercise, and there's this conversation. Well, not fine. It's hard to probably pay attention to the body at that point or whatever else is going on in the exercise.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I love that thing of, you know, no one else can do it for us, and we can't do
yes.
it on our own.
Yeah, no one can do it for us, and we can't do it on our own.
Oh, it's amazing. I had an experience of Sangha like that recently where we had this amazing work retreat and then a fabulous group discussion about it that was around all sorts of things, but like just living in what's possible. And living in what's possible when we drop the conversation that limits what's possible. And then the week after that, I was working on a project to meet a deadline, and there were very few people around on the property, two of us here. And for
that's
one,
very few.
It's very few. It's just one more than
one. Just one more.
And on Monday, there was only one.
Uh-huh.
And I was the only person in form in the schedule,
wow.
Which was an amazing, like, talk about how life creates the perfect workshops for us, right? And compassionate self-discipline and showing up. And so in that experience, I was listening to that group recording about what's possible every night. I was here in this kind of solo workshop, right?
Yeah.
So it really was that experience of no one else can do it for us and we can't do it on our own.
Mm-hmm.
And it just helped me go to that place of what's possible and practice staying in that.
Uh-huh. Like you were actually having the experience of what's possible. You were practicing it.
Yes.
So here you are having this workshop of one on the property of one,
mm-hmm.
and you're listening to this recording about what's possible with a bunch of other folks that we do it together with. And a guide.
Yes.
And you're listening to that every night, which kind of sounds like practice staying in that place of what's possible when we are in that conversation.
Yeah. So it really did feel like a group effort.
It felt like a group effort.
In an experience where it's often been hell because it felt like I'm on my own and it's just, you know, on my own with the torture, right?
Uh-huh.
So when there was even a point in the group recording where somebody said something like, we're all in this together. And every time I heard that, I could feel the body relax and soften, you know.
Because that's true.
Yeah.
You know that.
Yeah.
It's like the way you line that out, it's like the attention goes to here, it says to the thing in the head, it says you're on your own. You've got to do this work on your own.
Yes.
And then, you know that's not true, but we need some support. reports, your listeners reporting. And every time that says, we're doing this together, it registers. You know, the whole body relaxes.
Yes.
I'm back. That's what's true.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, it was so fun. And
it's so fun. We're just going right back there. I mean, we can go there any time, right? You're going there right now. I am too.
Yeah. And because I just got to see how that, like, how that, you know, living in what's possible started to get taken over and turned into like a standards thing, like, or about content. So there's an experience of weed eating where, you know, I feel like I could weed eat for however many more hours it takes to get the monastery weed eaten, you know. And then it takes that experience of possibility and turns it into, okay, well, now you've got to do the same with this writing project. And
you should be able to just do it forever and be totally fine.
Be totally fine.
Yeah. And maybe lit up about it. I don't know about that this time.
Yeah, definitely. And then the experience is, well, that's not actually, it's not possible to write in the same way that it's possible to weed eat.
Those are different things.
Right. Which, it was just such a powerful training because it was like, I got to see how there's that expansion of living in what's possible when we drop the conversation, and it got all squeezed down by ego into standards and like my version of what that living in possibility should look like around content. So I should be able to write this much a day and it should look like this and blah 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 and whatever. And I could feel the squeeze on the whole system. You start feeling really kind of constricted and under pressure. And then there was the awareness that was what was going on. And then there was like just the dropping it back into thy will be done. It's not my version of possibility.
Yes.
Right?
So good.
Yeah.
Gosh, I bet you we can all relate to that. You know, we have this expansive experience. We see what's possible.
Yeah.
Maybe we're even training in it. We're having that experience. Wow. And then eventually, at some point, I mean, conditioning is getting, I mean, it's probably trying to do it from the get-go.
Yeah.
But at some point, it gets in there. And it starts to take it over and make it into its standards of possibility.
Yes.
And converts it to this particular content. Well, okay, well, what's possible is that we should go to the right, da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
And I like what you're saying about the, because sometimes it's hard to pick up that we're listening to a conversation about that.
Yes.
But you picked up on the squeezy.
Yeah.
Which is great, right? So you were making this motion with your hands, just squeezing in, and you could feel that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the energy shrinking, things collapsing, tensing.
Yeah.
It's like, time out.
Yeah.
Hold on here, and you got to see all of that. Mm-hmm. Wait a second, this is life's possibility.
Yes.
It's not ego's version of life's possibility.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just that feeling of, oh, it's thy will be done, not my version of possibility. And it was just back to dropping the conversation.
Yeah.
So the conversation that felt so much like me of, okay, so like a checking in with the energy, story about that, and then based on that, well, how the work's going to go today is probably like this, so it'll probably be like 2 pages before lunchtime, and then, and how that just limits the life. And I remember, I think it was that same group discussion where we were talking about how, you know, making our life be the same 6 months from now is a full-time job. And I got to see how that full-time job happens, and it's that conversation about, okay, so it's probably going to be like 2 pages before lunchtime, and then I'll need to, and then, you know, like that, because the energy's like this, and then I'll do that, and then maybe another page in the afternoon, but no more, because, you know. And that is the conversation that keeps my life the same and leads to, you know, in this particular life experience, always, you know, a big push at the end and beatings for that and procrastination and all of that. And so it was just in that dropping the conversation where I would sit down and there would be the conversation about the energy, I would just drop it, and then life would get to do that process of possibility, and I'd just be surprised by it every time.
Wow, what a delight.
Look what life just did, you know?
Yeah, and that was only possible because you kept dropping the conversation over and over again.
Exactly.
And again, I think something we can all relate to about how how in 6 months or in 2 days or in 5 hours it'll be like this.
Yes.
And that's a full-time job,
yes,
being in a conversation, because life's changing and moving all the time.
Right.
We can't possibly know what's going to happen next. And so if we're going to make it be something in 2 days or 6 months, we've got to be in that conversation talking about it constantly.
Yeah.
And so the way out is just to keep practicing dropping the conversation.
Yes.
And then that experience of possibility that you're getting very familiar with just starting to come through, and you'd be surprised by it every time. Wow.
Yeah, it was amazing. And but just getting to see, wow, that's the conversation that keeps my life the same.
That's it.
That's the only thing. That's the conversation that keeps my life the same.
Yeah.
And I can drop that and be a possibility.
Yeah.
And I see how it tries to grab that and makes it a standard, and then I can drop that.
Exactly. And it was doing, again, like I had a commitment to write a very short thing, a little blog entry. And there was so much going on that day, and there was just this story of, it's not possible, I mean, there's no way with all of this going on and all of that. So it was already trying to make my life the same, which is, oh, you didn't keep that commitment, but there was a good reason for it, and I'll do it tomorrow, and then the pressure builds tomorrow, and like that. Right, and so there was just that's that same thing. The rules are not any different. It's still dropping the conversation. That's the conversation. I'm dropping it. So just sat down, set the time for 10 minutes, wrote it, kept the commitment in a story. When the story was, there's no way this can get done today. But there was just that recognition, that little bit of recognition of, that's the same thing. That's the conversation that I'm dropping. And seeing what's possible.
Yeah. Again, seeing that it's the same ego process, trying to maintain the identity of, how are you saying it? There's this thing, there's no way, there's no possible way, and there's two reasons why it's not possible, and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then you go, wait a second, I just had this experience.
Yeah.
That's that same voice. And the way you said it, too, there's something about there's an awareness that was going on, and that's the same ego process, and I'm going to drop the conversation.
Yeah.
And a clarity about that.
Yeah.
Nope, I'm setting the timer, here we go.
Yes.
10 minutes.
Yeah.
And it kind of takes that, doesn't it? That kind of, it's a courage, but it's straightforwardness. It's a
right. Yes. Yeah. There's nothing. There's nothing that I need to do.
Yeah.
Other than sit down and show up, dropping the conversation all the way, because I just saw something else about it. It's gone.
There's nothing for you to do but to just keep showing up to drop the conversation.
Yeah.
It seems kind of a theme, actually, that people, when we get out of the way, it gets really clear what's going on here. Oh,
right.
I'm studying this.
Right.
And I don't want to do anything else that's going to get in the way of that.
Exactly.
Because it's so exciting and there's the possibility of it.
Yeah. Because that conversation, what it's supposed to keep on recreating is this experience of I can't trust myself.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Which is kind of true. I can't trust itself.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But it's trying to set you up into believing that you can't trust what's going on for you.
Yeah. So just to, I guess it's like simplicity, the joyous and practical guide, right? All I have to do to have that experience of trusting myself is keep dropping this conversation and sit down and set the timer. I'm not the one doing the writing.
Yes.
It's
like when we drop that conversation, we get to see that trustworthiness is what is. And then you see, oh, I'm not even the one writing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is fun.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy being a part of it.
Okay.
Thank you. Nancy?
I've been having an interesting experience around meditation. I grew up a competitive athlete, and so from the time I was 5 all the way through my 20s, I was in a pool, 3 times a day for hours and hours, and it's just what I did. We went to practice, there wasn't a conversation about, going or not going. You went, unless you were sick or something else. And I'm having this really weird, tangible experience of my meditation being like diving into the pool, taking that first stroke, that first lap, and you count. You know, the coach says swim a mile, you know, you count out a mile. And it's and you stay with it, and it gets more subtle too as you know, you're in a lane, and so you're with all these people. You're not doing anything necessarily with them. You're not, you know, having a social thing, but you're practicing with them. You have to be aware of, you know, people in your lane all around you, so you're not kicking somebody in the face or, you know, whacking somebody with your hand. And then it's about what's going on with the stroke, you know, the subtleties of where your hand is placed in the water, how it goes in, how many breaths you take per stroke, and then it just gets sort of more subtle and deeper and deeper. And the same experience is coming up with the experience of the meditation. It's just, you know, how, where is it at any time, you know, just staying with it. And then you're kind of like solitaire, you know, if you cheated solitaire or you cheated the swimming, you know, you cut a corner or whatever, you're just cheating yourself, you know, and, yeah. And that idea of just, you know, I can drift off somewhere else or I can stay here, and it's a choice in every single aware moment. And it's been delightful. And I have to say, but Chip Cushions are such a kindness.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Cushions are very kind.
Very uh-huh. grateful for that.
Uh-huh. So swimming sounds like it's been a meditation, and really seeing how that's actually happening with sitting meditation. That place, I love that image of diving into the pool, because that's kind of what we do. Kind of dive into sitting. We don't know what's going to happen, we just commit. And I like also, you were pointing out that it's also been kind of a theme that there's no conversation. You would just go, I'm going to go swimming. That's what you did for years. And it sounds like you're saying, there's no conversation, I'm going to show up and sit. And just that part of I'm going to show up and sit and sitting down, and then watching the process, you know, as things kind of get more subtle and more subtle. You know, and you can kind of see, oh, you know, the attention drifts off. And I could choose to go with that. There's a place where it kind of feels like a choice, kind of like with swimming, I could cut a corner. But I'm going to know if that happened. And it sounds like what you're saying is what I'd like is to bring the attention back and see what happens there. And just noticing those kind of subtle places, sounds, I don't know, your word was, you've been really enjoying it, or, yeah.
It's enjoying. I don't know if that's
quite yeah, I was
well,
trying.
No, I mean it's more like joy, maybe, or
joy.
I don't know. It's enjoy is kind of for me a word that's connected with some other things that maybe are not about the experience of just being in it. It's I don't know that I exactly have words for it. But it's very free.
It's very free.
And creates the space that was being talked about. It just makes this big space. Someone very wise once said, and I contemplated this for a really long time because I wasn't sure I believed it, but it was that the best definition she had ever heard of compassion was making a space for someone.
Yeah, so free space and then compassion in the sense of making a space for something. Wow, like making a space for this. Yeah, just put your hand right on your heart there.
This takes you right there to unconditional love.
Unconditional love. Wow, because it is so compassionate, right, to offer this human being what they're being offered. Coming to train here, coming to sit in meditation to create that space for that person.
And there's the process, the work, the experience of gratitude and unconditional love, and then this, almost at the same time, this bowing, this letting go, this thank you and humility.
So in everything, in the work and all the things, there's a bowing, a letting go,